There are many kinds of Quakers today. There are unprogrammed and programmed. There are all kinds of varieties of ways that we gather in worship. But we all have the same heritage, the same beginning. Quakerism is a movement that began in England in the mid-1600s. It was a time of huge political, social, and religious unrest. And the religious argument really centered around the religious authority. Where was the authority centered? For Catholics in the Church of England, the center of worship was in the sacraments. For Puritans, they said that the center of worship was in Scripture alone, and therefore the center of worship was in the sermon, in the message. George Fox was a young man that lived at that time and was aware of these religious teachings around that. But he found that he was not satisfied with any religious expression. Nothing spoke to his condition. He sought answers everywhere. He was not going to just take it lying down. He went looking for an answer and looked everywhere, both inside and outside the church. And finally came to the end of his search, and it was there that he had an encounter with Jesus. He writes in his journal and says, "When all hope in them and in all men were gone, so that I had nothing outwardly to help me, nor could tell me what to do, then, oh then, I heard a voice which said, 'There is one, even Christ Jesus, that can speak to thy condition.' And when I heard it, my heart did leap for joy." He knew then that the only thing that mattered was this direct encounter with the living God. And while George Fox didn't start a new denomination, didn't intend to ever start a new denomination, and particularly not at that point, he knew that that truth had to be shared. And so he began telling it everywhere. He even corrected sermons in established churches. "You got it wrong." And would give a better version of what they were teaching. Ultimately, he had an encounter on Pendle Hill in 1652 and writes again in his journal, "There atop of the hill I was moved to sound the day of the Lord. And the Lord let me see atop of the hill in what places he had a great people to be gathered." Well, that initiated an explosion that led to the formation of the Religious Society of Friends as he began to tell this message, and it went out, went to one place and identified that you're seekers, but let me tell you, you can be finders, and to be definite about this good news that he was telling people. In the early days, they were called Friends of Jesus. And they settled on the name Friends, taking it from Scripture in John 15, verses 12 through 17. I'm going to read that passage, where we get our name from, our friend's name. John 15, 12. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." The command to go and to love one another, to be a people that are full of love, and to know that Jesus speaks God's truth into our hearts, and that we can know that directly. That powerful message that we are allowed to know the truth of what God is saying. As Quakers settled on the name Friends, it became a name that they really owned. We often talk about being Quakers, even on World Quaker Day, but actually the Quaker was a pejorative term given to Friends, not used in a positive manner, but it has stuck and has been one that we've owned long term, although it came from a different instance of coming, and whereas Friends was the name we chose. They, early Quakers, then understood that God wants to speak to his people, so they simply gathered to listen. They didn't need a priest or clergy or buildings or liturgy or external sacraments. They didn't need anything. They could simply gather, knowing that God was present, as they gathered in community and listened, that God would speak. And so, ministry rose up among them from listening in the silence. And God spoke in powerful ways, and they were faithful to share what they heard in the silence. That has been said about Quakers, that you can do as much damage by deciding ahead of time that I'm going to speak as you can by not deciding I am not going to speak and being silent and quenching the spirit when it rises among us. And yet I sometimes say, for those of us that always have words, we have to pause and say, should I use those words? For those of us that rarely have words, when the words come, we probably need to speak them. But that we know that God will be present and God will speak in the silence as we listen. Today there's Quakers all over the world, as we have thought about earlier, and we worship in some diverse ways. Some are cultural and some are preference, but they're all God-centered. We all gather to listen to God. Some gather in silence like they did in early days and gather without a pastor and simply come into meeting for worship and sit in silence, anticipating God's presence being made known in that meeting. Others like us have a pastor and we sing together, we have a message. We come and gather and listen through all of those venues to what God is saying. But we do differ from other churches in that we see the center of our worship as this time of listening together, this time of silence in which we wait and then allow God to speak to us. We know that God is speaking, but we open our ears and we have an intentional time of listening as a community to what God is saying. I worked with a youth group and they said, you can forgo anything else in the service, but never forgo open worship. In fact, we could use more of it. Those are kids that we often think of being busy and wanting to hurry up and get through something and on to what's next. And yet they said that it is so important. Here at North Seattle Friends, we do that in two ways. The God stories, where we invite us to share the God movement, whether it be prayer for things that are happening, anticipation, whether it be naming what's going on inside of us and inviting others to join us in praying for that, whether it be praying for around the world, whether it be in Puerto Rico or another church, all of those kinds of things, or whether it be sharing, I noticed God in this place this week, and being able to give voice to that. Often we come to God's stories ready to share this truth that has risen in us that we want to be able to share with this gathered community. But we also have a time of open worship in which the purpose is simply to let God speak. We wait in silence, knowing that God is speaking, and we open ourselves to hearing that message and inviting God to speak to us and through us to others, and that we choose to listen. And as God prompts us with a message, that we choose to be faithful to share that message. That we don't have to be somebody practiced or experienced at doing this. And that we don't even have to be absolutely sure that we got it right. But that we get the privilege of sharing that which God has put on our hearts. And then we hold it together in community as we listen together. Listen under for God's truth. What is God saying to me through that? What is God saying to us as a community through that which has been shared? The prepared messages that I bring come out of my leadings and out of my experience, but they're always held up for God to redirect and God to say, not today, not today. I have something else in mind. And let me tell you, I always want to do what God wants, because what God does is way more powerful than anything I can conjure up. Let me tell you. The thing that sets us apart as other Quakers from religious groups is still true today. As a people, we gather to listen to God. And it's true whether we're programmed or unprogrammed. No matter who we are as Quakers, we gather with this intention of listening to God and creating space so that God can speak to anyone in the silence, even to a small child, to anybody that is present with us. It's true whether I have a message or not. It's true whether we sing or not. We all gather to listen to God. And nothing is more important to us than hearing what God is saying in our midst, which is why we make space for the listening and why we see that as the center of our gathered worship. When I first came to North Seattle Friends, the thing that really drew me here was the recognition that God is here. And that people that are gathered in this place know God. And that they're willing to share that knowing with others. And that as a community we gather and listen and speak that truth in our midst. God, I believe, desires nothing more than this direct communication with us. And the amazing thing about this communication is that it's true in all of life, that God loves to show us spiritual truths. And I love that your friend had an aha moment at the end of the day and a real spiritual truth, and that you knew something inside of you that was shifted everything about how you could relate to your daughter. We can go on and on about all these ways in which God moves, and they're really spiritual things. But I love that, as Jan said, there's really practical ways about getting help to people in Puerto Rico. You know, if I go over here, there's not going to be any water. But if I go over there, there will be. And that God just delights in directing us in those kinds of practical ways, just as much as God delights in directing us in spiritual truths and in spiritual ways. Whether it be how to organize your finances or do a home repair, God likes to show us how it is that we can do that. We can simply ask God to show us way forward about anything in life. It's as simple as following the nudges as they come to us, and as wow as seeing the angels surround us and knowing that we're not alone, that we are accompanied maybe through a dark time, maybe through a place that we don't know how to do. But that we are not alone. The power of God's presence in this present moment of the eternal now speaking to us is absolutely huge. That God's power, all of who God is, would bear in upon us in any moment. Upon me in any moment. Is absolutely huge. George Fox's most common phrase was, "The power of the Lord is over all, over every one of us." And that we can live in that power, know the light that shines into us and over us and around us, that leads us, and the power of God's presence with us. It's both individual and personal. But it's also directed at the community as we are gathered together. It's bigger than just me or you and me. It's all of us. And it extends around the world. It's this power that strengthens and pulls us together and makes something. And as we listen, we hear. We hear God's voice. We may not hear an audible voice. Probably very few of us have heard an audible voice, but we hear in our spirit the truth that this is the way. This is it. This is the thing to let go of. Whatever it is that we can hear in our spirits. And then we follow those leadings boldly. I love that part. That not only do we hear, but that we can go forth knowing that God has spoken. And we can trust those leadings and live them out. Even when they're a bit off the wall, a bit radical, and we're a bit like, are you sure, God? But that God is faithful to lead us. And that there is power in that. I love being a Quaker. I think it's the most powerful way for me to know God and to be present in the presence of God. As it's World Quaker Day, I have a video that I want to show with you. Greg Koskela was a pastor for many years in Newburgh, Oregon, pastored at other places prior to that in Boise, and was on staff at Newburgh before that. But for the last number of years, he's been the pastor at Newburgh Friends until he resigned this at the beginning of the summer, and he's now an administrative assistant for the Newburgh Superintendent of Schools. But he has a video in which he shares 10 reasons why I am a Quaker. And I want to share that with you this morning. I'm going to catch the lights.
I came to Quakers, I came to Friends, growing up in a lot of different evangelical Christian denominations. And when I showed up at George Fox, then college, now university, I began to be exposed to Quakers. And there was a lot of life there that really drew me in ways that I hadn't experienced before in other Christian traditions. We all come from our own perspective. So I came from a evangelical Christian perspective and was introduced to Quakerism and loved it. And so my top 10 list reflects the things that I loved coming from that environment. I'm Greg Koskela. I'm a Quaker here in Newburgh, Oregon, and these are my top 10 reasons for why I am a Quaker. So number 10, I'm put off by hierarchy and I'm energized by community. And I think what that means is I really want to be a part of a group of Christ followers who are taking responsibility themselves to listen to God and to obey God. I want to be part of a community that challenges each other, that engages with each other. I want to be a part of a group because that's how we do life better. I think that's the Quaker vision of community. Number 9, I believe nobody has it all, and I believe nobody is a lost cause. What Quakerism has really brought out of me is this recognition there's nobody who has their stuff all together. It reminds me of my own struggles, my own weaknesses, my own sinfulness. But it always holds on as well that none of that overwhelms us. None of us is a lost cause. God can work in any of us, even pastors. Number 8, I believe God can and does show up in every human experience. And worshiping with Quakers reminds me that in this moment, I can look and expect for God to show up. And not only in this moment, but in the moment I'm going to have washing my dishes or driving in my car or going about regular life, I can pay attention to God present. And that's one of the big reasons I'm drawn to Quakers. Number 7, some of the most influential people in my life are Quakers. When I think about the people who have affected me, who have changed me for the better, a huge percentage of them are people who are in the Quaker tradition. And that's one of the reasons that draws me in. Number 6, silence speaks to me. I used to be one of those people who thought prayer was about making sure you get your words right before God. And Quakers have helped me understand to listen for that still small voice of God. And I don't think silence is the only way to hear God, but I cannot imagine or fathom hearing from God without taking regular time to be in silence. Number 5, I believe every person on the planet can hear God's voice, and can be a part of God's plan. And this means that I look to work for justice and equality in every human relationship because there are no fundamental differences between us as people. And it means that I am challenged to not have nationalistic blinders on when I look at the world. It means that there's something inside me that screams against capital punishment or war. Because all people have value. All people can play a part. Number four, I don't want to be called reverend. And as a pastor, I don't want to be separated from the people with whom I live life, who I live community with. I think only God should be revered, and I love that that testimony is part of Quakers. Number three, I want to be challenged to a life of simplicity and integrity. I want to be challenged to a single-minded focus on obedience to God, and I want to be removed, released from the endless distractions of stuff. I want my focus to be on Christ. Number two, I believe the passionate power of God unleashes faithful, joyful, vibrant followers of Christ. And I really want to be a part of being called to radical obedience, out-of-the-box risk-taking, because that's not part of my personality. I want to be challenged to live out vibrant life with God in ways that I haven't otherwise done. And I've found worshiping with Quakers helps me do that. And the number one reason why I choose to be a Quaker is that I want to join Christ in transforming this world. And as Quakers, we believe God is alive and vibrant in every part of this world, transforming people, working to reconcile creation, restore creation. God is at work, breaking systems of injustice. And I want to be a part of that. I want God to enliven me. And that's one of the reasons, the best reason, I think, why I choose to name Quakers as my own.
Let's enter into open worship as we listen to God who is present and is speaking.